which we weren't sure of, but this confirmed, he said, no, I'm going up to Birmingham. So good. And so let me just cover with you for a minute now, then, if it's okay. It was too late or something. He said, no. Went into the whole thing. He said, oh, he said, just don't worry about it. It's one of those things that he just sees things differently than I do. And so obviously I annoyed him by my approach, and he sure as hell annoyed me by his or something like that. But, he said, it doesn't mean anything. I'll just raise my own money and run my own operation. He said, that's out of the question. The last thing that you should be wasting time doing is raising your own money. And the whole interest here is to move all the funds in that are needed to get the thing done without wasting them. Obviously, you'll get some money. You can't avoid it. Whatever money you get, you would use too, but we'll have to make sure that all that you need is channeled in. There's no need for you to have to deal with Sands, and I didn't know you were meeting with him, or I would have stepped in beforehand. And you told him I always had this problem. He said, we always have this problem with Maury. He loves to run the campaigns and determine the strategy and write the ads, and he just can't do it. And he said, well, I can see that. But he understands he's got the money. That's not good. Yeah. And so just not worry about it. We're all right out. He's combating, that's the thing. The complicated thing is this whole legal thing. I didn't realize we can't
set up a certain thing.
Well, yeah, we can, but it's understands the responsibility. He can't raise money at all. Except as it's reported through the old Stans thing and all that. And we can't or shouldn't take money from our committee and give it to him because that's reported. We have to report all our expenditures. So we'd have to show that we had given $3 million to the Democrats out of the re-election committee. You don't want the Democrats to be publicly supported by the re-election committee. So what we do, we channel contributions. People who are going to give to the re-election committee, we ask to give to the Democrats instead. And they can be Republicans. There's no reason why Republicans can't give to the Democrats. But we've already got.
Let's get the Democratic money that we can report.
From three sources, we've almost already got. We've got the $3 million, presumably anyway, pledged on new money. So, but Stans was worried. I didn't realize he was worried about how to assign the quotas on that. See, he's going after Pelucci and Andreas and all of them. Anyway, he's got a system of quotas. I talked with Clark and Chuck this morning, and Clark very much wanted to handle this himself rather than my getting into it with Stans. And I said, well, that's fine, except it's got to be handled.
Oh.
And
Clark may have no problem with sensitivity now.
Well, there's no problem.
He won't handle it with Connie.
But he wanted to handle it with Stans. quite sophisticated level, Gates. I don't think there's a public case.
You know, at all.
Said that there have been some colonies on the island.
That's right.
Well, there haven't been recently.
Anyway, can I suggest that so as to blunt that?
Kevin Phillips is the one that's had the most, you know, our own guy.
Really, so he's always negative.
And that's because John Mitchell, he thinks he's not in the mainstream. But I think the strategy group is
aimed at work. Well, we've got the names now. Connolly, Mitchell, the ones that will be public. Connolly, Mitchell. Mitchell will ask for them now.
Yes.
Want to do that?
Yes.
Connolly, Mitchell, Brownell, and Harlow, and Finch. Richard Mitchell.
Finch. Plus McGregor and Doe.
And they would have to be in it too. If you can't rule your party people out, and you've got the whole land game coming. It's a great thing for Finch too.
Mitchell's immediate reaction was that you're going to have a hell of a problem leaving the congressional people out. And I said, well, the thing would be to have Scott poured in from time to time, but not,
not on a regular basis. No. But with Connolly, you got this as a committee to re-elect the president. Connolly said he's not going to support the Republican candidates for the House and Senate.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah. I think it's good not having it makes the fact that this is a separate campaign, not the others.
Well, if you could set that up, if you can't do it then, pick a time that they can do it.
Probably can Friday. I didn't raise it with Connolly last night because I want to see what came out of his loss, and he's coming back up sometime.
Along Thursday or Friday. I can do it Thursday. Friday, I could do it Friday.
understand why you have to raise some of these expenses.
All right. Let's not talk about it, though. Would you agree? Because we are a rich party in Christ.
Absolutely.
So you put that McGregor show on. The other thing I'd like from McGregor, too, I'd like him to do it with my else staff first. Then, if I would suggest, I think he should do the cabinet and the sub-cabinet, you know, and the sub-cabinet, under-secretaries and assistant secretaries.
Our political, our political guys in the cabinet.
They don't know. was her client's secretary or something like that. Since he put his name there.
No, advertising.
No, well, he worked in an advertising agency, I guess, as an art director or something like that for a while. But he's been in, I think, in the insurance business and then in the alumni business. He worked at the UCLA alumni membership promotion and that kind of stuff. And then became the director of that area and worked at some other alumni place. Then went to an advertising agency, I guess, and then was on straight merchandise.
Good. Well, he's a good property, strong, vigorous.
Well, he's a quiet guy. He's,
I don't mind his
class. He's an inside guy, but that's why you get to him. Man, you aren't
the
other great speaker.
He has some of the same qualities and mountain characters, obviously.
He does.
Tough, ruthless guy, and I can tell. Now, my view about the speech group, as I saw them, is I think two things. One, I think it's too big. And I guess it has, and I guess it's the great responding to your, you know, my insistence that we try to get some other stuff in it. But I wondered, I just wanted to. Are we quite sure that adequate checks are made on where their political loyalties are? That worries me a little because of the size of the group, you know. And, I can't tell much about them, but they do not impress too much, they don't impress me too much, but I can't tell that they didn't all speak. And we can't tell if you're meeting that many people. I think maybe what we should do here, and maybe it's not too late to do it, rather than telling Price to go out to get somebody, is that maybe we get somebody.
Oh, we did. The last two didn't come from Alaska.
Okay, come out.
Rodney Campbell and Aaron Bakshin.
Well,
have you read this? Acceptance speech draft.
No, how do you like it?
There's a start. But I was surprised. Rodney Campbell said I was. Chris is at great points that out. He had Campbell and Bakshin each do it without any guidance, just to get a feel of the guy and get us a feel of the view from the outside without. And he said you won't like them because they aren't mixonized at all, and they haven't been given them.
So listen, it's hard to work in a vacuum.
And out of that, Campbell, they both have some good ideas. Campbell is all Republican, which is a logical trap you fall into right now.
I covered all that with him here yesterday. It's the Republican Congress and the Republican. And I said, what are we going to say about the Republican? What are you going to say about the Democratic Congress? And I said, you're not going to refer to the Democratic Congress. You're going to refer to the Congress, not the Democratic Congress. And what are you going to say about the record of the Democratic administration from the beginning? And I said,
suggested the little black girl at the flood.
Jess.
Which happened to have been played in the United States. Right. We don't have to worry.
Saturday would be the 5th. You'd have two, almost 3 weeks. Two and a half weeks.
Well, I got, yeah, that's right. That's what I need. Take care of, say, the company's expenses or something, so it doesn't have to go.
We can tap.
in so many words that we heard John Wallace's message. What if it be so specific? Points. And we may be able to code word it something too, that, you know, it can be worked out. But that's what they think is things gonna be. Now Conley's playing it cool, is how he's gonna play it. That's fine. He'll decide, but he knows this. The question is whether he will
wait till after the convention.
Tell the independents to wait till after the convention to move their commission out to ours to see if he got the signal. Or whether he'll buy the fact that he's got the signal. If you feel there's anything he can do, he said he was things look so rosy now that I don't think you need me, and I don't think you need our people. I said, well, let's... we can't figure on that. And he said, well, let's...
That's actually...
He said, you're right. And, yeah, but he said, I'll tell you, though, in Ohio, looking things over, talking to the governor and all the people there, he said, I'll tell you that I don't think Ohio is a cinch. He said, as you know, the Republicans aren't in the best possible shape. They're all over getting their problems worked out, but the Democrats aren't in good shape.
They are in good shape.
He thinks so. That's what these people are telling him. He said, so I think you got to do that. Then he said that on the convention, he'd been thinking about it. His view was that he should not do a permanent convention this time. But he said if you wanted to do it, that he of course will. This is just his judgment that it might be better time enough to. He said last time he did it at both conventions. He did it at the Democrats and the Republican, and he thought that was a good choice. But this time he wasn't asked to do the Democrats. And he sort of feels that it would be, he's so closely identified with you anyway, that he felt it might be better to use other people for the first. He's so obvious,
right?
But he said, but don't know. If the president wants me to do it,
I think he can get identified. Of course, he gets a bigger audience at the convention. He may get when he says it at other times.
But he thinks he can be stronger in working behind the scenes than he can vote. Going out and praying, all he does is say, you know, here I am. Where he wants to be more political and doesn't feel he can't be at the convention.
I agree. That gives us a chance to give other people a chance to go down there, too.
He said, just tell the president that he's got to continue being president. He should not tear it around. He can tear around the country or anything.
Is that right?
He can blow it by overdoing it. And
he goes the other way.
Just right now. And he said, also tell Agnew he must not be defensive, that he must stay positive, that they're going to make him the campaign issue, and he must ignore it and stay on the positive side of it. Go that way. And then he gave me a big pitch about not running off the blacks. Get 30-35% of
them. Well, that's true. I agree with Ohio, of course. I say you've got problems seriously about it. Both Ohio and Illinois. Illinois because of that, of the governor. And Ohio because of the car breakdown of our own campaign, our own committee, and over the government. The rest of the labor is not as good in Ohio as it is in some other areas.
Frank King is
always an East collector.
Not happily.
But he is in misery.
Especially this year, because they didn't fix the
occurs. And that is why we are making every effort, the president is making every effort, to end the killing by stopping this, by solving the situation through the negotiated settlement. So there's nothing more to it than that, which, you know, without saying, what about the killing in the South? Property review board. Of course, we talked about the Security Assistance Act, and I made it clear that it is the President's office stated position, it's the administration's position, that we need the security assistance legislation for national defense in order to conduct a foreign policy, which we feel is the right foreign policy for this country to pursue. I say to the President, there are a number of actions that can take place now to achieve a security assistance bill. Other congressional actions can take place within the Senate itself, or we still have the House, which has under consideration legislation now in committee. We're hopeful that the House will move that and give the Senate another chance to consider. From the President's standpoint, from the administration's standpoint, we intend to pursue a legislation to provide for a security assistance bill.
personal thinking on this also do tend to help the thing Ron and I discussed. You participated on some of the side of if there is any way to ameliorate some of the hostility. I don't mean the fact that any of the panel left before us to ameliorate the hostility. You do a little of that through letting them come to the office and screw around on the panel for a half hour. Isn't that the reason?
Yes, sir. Plus the fact that we get our, you're out there with your case being made as you know would in a restaurant. Do you have another number?
It's a good mileage.
We get to discipline the bureaucracy.
The thing is, it's the whole point is the discipline of the bureaucracy. The thing is, we all look, we're all in positive, and I particularly are the most selfish and conscious people in the world, and it's under the canons. I'm totally concerned on that way. We talked yesterday about the new center and so forth, but one thing I've ordered, which you'll find very interesting, and it's only for you and me. More help is going to give us an excellent got to have analysis by people so they can read that. let me say, every time you can suddenly, you know, stay in like the way you handle the union thing, you might say this. Might say, well, it's just a remark as well that they have an idea about life of the Teamsters that the rank and file, many of the rank and file, that's the American way. That shows that the labor leader cannot speak, cannot deliver his rank and file. It'll be the same thing indicate that the Teamsters are much more free in this respect than the Guild. That is just not the truth from ear to ear. Because their leaders deliver their rank and file. If they read about themselves, do you think they're, do you really think they're sensitive about themselves?
Yeah, well, they're sensitive.
I've been reading the news summary, so I know
they're sensitive. The problem we got is we got a good issue that they're trying to blunt because, you know, they all got together around a big ad in the paper.
So catch a guy with his pants down is always going to be, remorseful. And that's exactly what has happened with these guys. They know that they've hit on a sensitive nerve. They wouldn't be reacting and overreacting this way if there wasn't a validity.
Let me tell you something, Max. We need this bomb in an area that will only connect. How many average slobs do you talk about in the public this neighborhood? See, purposely, we have to do, let's say, the press, and I'm speaking now of the media, is going to be negative. And what we have to do is to condition the people not to believe them. That's my point. And that's why I want the Guild story out, not just among these guys, and then have them try to deal with it in their own crooked way, deal a little bit more fair. But I want that great advertising of Jesus Christ. These old newspaper reporters are bucking the president and kicking him around and all the rest. They're a member of a union that has endorsed McGovern. That's the only thing. Do you think that's going to be across?
This is the second point I was going to make. I think the level, I was surprised. I think the level of impression of this act has gone deeper than we may realize. People are aware of this. They were aware of it, as a matter of fact, out in California. People who are not, that you talk to, who are not, you know, attuned to the political thing. I think these questions are
all because it made a flag. The bigger, well, the ad is made, and I noticed the news magazines took notice of it.
But you see, there was wide coverage the day that it happened, simply stating the fact.
And it was the first union to endorse.
That's right, because it was the first union. And that impression pretty well went out. Now, people remember that, and they talk about it and so forth. This ad and so forth, I don't think, contributed to the impression at all. But you can at least feel it's there, because you run into enough people in different places and you refer to it and say something.
That's pretty good. back to it.
Only national. I was just gonna say, only do it on national television. Don't do it right in here.
It's an amazing phenomenon, because what you're saying is absolutely correct in terms of, you know, the natives and the Sotheby's and so
on. Yeah.
But I still get these guys streaming into my office talking about my governor.
Really?
Yes, sir. I don't know what it is. Hayes Gorey was out with him and covered it from Time magazine. He says he's worried he's sick about the guy because he thinks he's shallow and stupid.
Shallow?
Yes, sir. Henry Hubbard, of all people. Of course, Henry, I think, doesn't have much of
a... I know, but he's worth talking to.
Said the other day, he said that quite a bit. He said, this is totally confidential within this office. And I said, absolutely, and it is. I'm not going to repeat this because it would just, you know.
Yeah.
He said, I think, Ron, quite frankly, and he kind of looks around, it would be a disaster if McGovern won. He said, he can't win. You know, the guy is fighting people. Well, he might have been...
You know, let me ask you this, Ron. Suppose we had, we're taking an enormous amount of domestic maneuver. Suppose we had got an egg to withdraw and put a Connolly on it. What would have been your reaction?
My personal reaction?
I guess it's a bad one.
Saying you think the
said, as they had said apparently earlier, they would apply that test to Eagleton, but since he was a total cipher at this point, they were able to judge whether it held or not, and the judgment wouldn't have to wait to be seen on Eagleton. But the, and they're in no way building Eagleton. They're not saying any better wife. They're not saying that Agnew was an absolute badass, not a relative, but an absolute test, which is he qualified? Is he a man we want to see be president? And the answer to that is no, in terms of Agnew. And I think you would find that even with the Agnew supporters to be a fairly effective point. I think most Agnew supporters would say no. And if they drive that hard, that's going to be a tough one to deal with. And they, but I think we just have to avoid it. They make, then they make some of the point that Agnew has shown himself not to be a man of broad grasp and understanding of the kind that a president must have. And they said it's too bad because Nixon has shown himself to be such a man and has made very great decisions and very great moves as president. And he would not be well served to be followed in that office by Agnew. And I think they make the point, someone did it, that by making him vice president again, he's given a very strong step up on the ladder to being the presidential nominee in 76, to being your successor, your chosen successor. And at that, he would not be worthy of that role. And then they hit some petty stuff, a little bit, not very much. They stayed pretty much on the high road.
I tried to get him to handle this better than he did at the airport.
Well, you know,
what I would have done, I couldn't quite come in. What I would have done, say categorically, that I'm going to be saying that I'm here as vice president, and I'm not going to use this office for the purpose of running for president. That's something that's, you know what I mean? I tried to get that out of him.
He said too early.
Huh?
What he said was too early.
But that's
the issue. See, I'm
asking, because that by saying too early means that he'll decide later to do it.
I listened to the tape of the press conference because I wanted to pursue the point of view that I do have on this. And what happens is that the vice president is drawn in. He was drawn into his intellectual elite comment. And there's nothing wrong with intellectual elite, but you can make a more potent comment about the McGovern set than using the vice president to use intellectual elite.
Right.
Because people associate, this is quite broad, widespread impression.
That's right. Of course, you get some of that off, you can't.
Yep.
Right. You can't afford to talk about the rattling sheet.
Yep.
You know.
The other point the Times made was that it was too bad that Agnew was, all Agnew did was strengthen you where you were already so strong that nobody could possibly weaken you. And that almost anybody else would have added strength to the ticket rather than simply strength.
I would disagree with the second proposition. I don't think that anybody would have added
what kind of,
but I think, I'm not sure. Well, he would as an advocate. Everybody having him as an advocate, but not in such a big thing. But I think that what happens here is that the vice president, as the time goes on, can detract some. For example, any efforts we make in the youth area, particularly college youth, are strongly funded by having him on the ticket.
Sure.
Strongly. What are you people saying? They agree with that, don't they? Or they should press it, maybe.
Not totally, because you have
blue collar youth.
There's some proactive youth too.
Wallaceite youth, yeah. I know.
But the thing of it is there's a lot of youth, a lot of young people out there who are none of that.
Sure.
And it's that type of individual can be affected by, all youth or something that comes across, and when he gives the press the opportunity to report it, I think that's more than anything else. We've got to take as a given fact that if the vice president would ever say bang,
I have a feeling that the best way to handle it, rather than give him the court, this can't be done if we're clever.
be perfectly frank, I think what you have to do, Bob, is just whip him down into the, let him into the south, let him into the small streets, and as much as possible, keep him out of the areas where he can hurt. He's going to help us. New York, he is going to help us. Illinois, he is going to help us. Ohio, California. I don't even say, yeah, but New York, conservative. But then, oh, we've done enough for them by putting him on. But I think that the more we can keep him, I'm not giving him some important duties. Because we, after the talk we had with him, which you gave your notes on, Bob, weren't you, frankly, somewhat disappointed with the way he handled the gun on that thing? Or were you on?
Yeah. He didn't handle 76 questions strongly enough. He let himself be caught on that crack against Eagleton, which he was. The order there was so clear and unequivocal as to be, you know, no way to misinterpret that. He was told to say nothing about him in any way, shape, or form, ever.
One of the, if I could, you've asked me, so I'll give you my personal observation. One of the observations that I've made, this is a presumption, not a vice president, this way, but after the thing at the airport, I'm convinced that he doesn't go through the process before a press section, a session of preparation. And that's why he makes the errors. And that's why I listened to the tape.
We didn't have time. You're too busy.
Well, that's my point. The morning.
He should have got his ass out there and sat down for 3 hours and studied and worked with his staff and did all the things.
See, he was down there. He was there until 11 o'clock. I called, 10:30. I called Vic Gold about 10 to 11. And he was, you know, he was there with Vic Gold, I guess, going over some stuff. But you don't have time when you get showered after tennis and cool down after two, three hours of tennis. You don't have time to adjust your mind to this.
And to be up for it.
And you can tell
you gotta be up for these things. I mean, you go over your daily briefings are pretty
you've got to prepare for it. You've got to over it.
You've got to be there. You've got to be sharp and so forth. Particularly as you get older, there's a little bit more time each time to be really up.
When there's not preparation, you make mistakes.
He doesn't really. He isn't the type that you would rather be in here getting. You would look forward to the challenge of a press conference and the opportunity to figure out how you can get some of your points across. You'd spend the morning here because you wanted to. You wouldn't even consider going out to play tennis.
I don't.
On a morning like that. Or, well, forget about tennis, but if you were down in San Clemente, you wouldn't consider going out for a swim then, are you?
The time to play,
you should rather do that, even though you love to go out for a swim.
I wouldn't rather do it, but I'll tell you what the point is to me. I mean, I don't, in the so-called challenge of a press conference, I mean, the excitement of press conference, bullshit. I know it's important.
Well, that's the
thing. I mean, I don't want to disdain the opportunity. I'd rather just sit my ass. But the point is, I know you have to do it. And if you have to do it, it's like taking the bars or anything else. You've got to sit here, man. And remember, that's the most important thing you can do is to take off whatever's necessary for a press conference a couple of days, more or less. I don't take off that much for one in here, but for the average, I take 2 days. And I take the day of the time of the damn thing's on.
You see, if you prepare, then when the question comes, you're like Eagleton, then you have thought out what you're going to say. I am convinced, in listening to the tape, that he did not think that out. And the question came to him in such a way that if he was not going to say anything about Eagleton, the question came in such a way that he was forced into a comment. But he
wasn't there to follow, maybe, too, Bob, with a little bit of cockiness. Just when people feed him, he's got a lousy staff. You know, he also has these celebrity types that, you know, tell him he's the greatest thing since cream cheese, and so forth. And I think this may be part of the problem. He probably needs. Let me ask the thing. How about Mary Marlowe on again? Did he do have a good effect on him before? If so, is there anything more important than getting?
I've been thinking about that. I haven't talked to Bryce. I'd like to talk to Bryce about it. I'd like to get his read. Because I'm not sure that Bryce felt that he had done well, but then he broke his pick. He gets so upset with the, like, the Secret Service and all this other stupid stuff. But I'm not sure he feels he can be useful. got to be somebody with him. You can't just leave him go off, let him go off with his
power. Let's say there's somebody else on Buck Buchanan.
I think that's worse. Buchanan beats the worst felon. So
that's my view. That's my view. But you, as you remember, you dropped the idea of Buchanan about 3 or 4 days ago.
Yeah.
And I, knowing Buchanan, think Buchanan, well,
he has no judgment.
And you, they got to remember that if he does,
he's fair to say.
Limit, I will not answer any questions for further matters.
statement of what you advocate, what you've done.
Henry, will just take a minute if I may. I have a bit of a long meeting this morning about something that doesn't have to do with an action that's more of a postal shop. Tell me what you meant, what you thought about whether the counterattack on Eagles and others on the four calls.
I guess not. That's what he would do.
I wouldn't get him out of that. I wouldn't keep politics.
cut down on paper and so
on. Yeah, raw, yeah, raw. You don't have raw files.
That's right.
But
in that case, if you give it to me, and I'll be channel it.
And if you'll do that, you're very one of us. Like, for example, think of that idea at the time. I think that the government ought to be hammered day after day on the green thing.
Because it's abuse.
Yeah,
this is a medical examiner. been treating the guy. He says he's a manic depressive. He has a problem.
Are you sure of this?
Yeah. Well, part is sure of it.
I knew that he'd been in this hospital, you know, our Kropnik. So I said,
not Kropnik.
Well, pre-roll, you know, remember it.
Sure. I'm saying, look,
yeah, it's the PR guy. And so he's also he said that he would have been native in Missouri. He said also that he's a liberal, incidentally. And he said that he had been in a hospital, he named the hospital on three different occasions in the past 3 years.
Well, I think maybe they had that lead from somewhere else because they were following that up to find out why he was in the hospital. It wasn't just alcohol.
He thought it was alcohol.
It's a foul line.
We were no doubt alcohol. You know, when you were drunk, if I could, you know, the way this kind of thing should be used, which is far better. And honestly, it should get to him and the government. Terms of some of they worry about it.
Well, the other way to use it is knowing that that's the case. Like you can bait the guy, and the manic depressive is you would assume, is going to get off the question in intensity of a national campaign. It will take care of itself. I would think the press, just the
other guy, the manic depressive, as I recall, is one who really survives on elation,
sure,
and adulation. And so with the campaign, this whole one will probably save him from keeping
it. Well, let's face it, if it holds that long,
let's face it, that's his condition. I'm shocked. We know that's Martin's problem. He's a manic depressive. And on the other hand, if Martha hadn't come to Washington, she'd be in the who he has right now. Having come to Washington, I mean, all the adulation saved her for this length of time, and now she's having a letdown. Fire problem is so desperately serious. She's a manic depression.
But never known to be the
Eagle, for example.
And I'll press it with an alcoholic problem. It's the same thing.
And Eagle is a very outgoing and all impressive.
But if one can get him into it, you know, if he gets his manic, his mouth and loss, that will help.
See, my manic states weren't very good either.
What?
Her elation states weren't very good either. You go overbalanced both ways.
Yeah.
To a degree, that was Kennedy's problem on taking that stuff and put it.
Cortisone, right?
Right. Was it fills you up and lets you down? He had highs and lows.
One of the things about this, though, is if they are just aware of the fact that such a report exists, that's all it needs.
Eagleton's aware of it.
Eagleton's got to be aware of the fact that his political opponents are aware of it, you know.
Yeah.
And they're not using
it. Clark McGregor called him and said, Tom, I just want you to know we're not going to use the medical report in any way. I've issued orders to my entire staff never to refer to it.
In public.
And we'll also never mention your religion.
But I don't have the impression that the press is yet building him up the way they normally build their.
They're waiting to see. They haven't figured it out yet.
We were talking about a fascinating picture.
Did you see it?
Right. When the hell was that taken?
I don't know.
I can't recall that. I can't recall him or the child.
It was probably one of those open door hours.
I think it was.
What did they come in for?
Probably because it's really good that the open arms were so fast. If you could run by and meet the president or something.
But I think I would recall that. I honestly never remember having met him.
Oh, you did.
Which shows you how your memory can really
slip. Do you recall meeting a 7-year-old boy with two
broken arms?
Because you'd be more likely to recall that than he
could have been. But how his kid would get in, I just don't know, unless he came for some sort of, like, come to the 300th anniversary of St. Louis or something. And
that could have been, too.
Could we check to see what the hell he came?
Sure.
I'm just curious.
Sure.
But anyway, the real problem we got, of course, anyway, is we've been thinking about the Harlow scheme again. And Hank Harlow thinks he's broken his neck with him. Is that right, Bob?
Well,
get every day. And I mean, leave the little ones go by.
But the things like this, I just kill them.
He said that the only one who used to think of them just keep hitting yourself is a thousand coffins.
And we shouldn't stop hitting them for this villainous smear campaign. 20,000 people only coffins, but they literally belonging to war.
Yeah.
It reset a tenth as much, they'd be all over us.
That's right. Well, look. Look what we could have said about Johnson and Kennedy in 1968 and didn't say.
8,000 of the casualties were in the first 6 months before we even got hold of the day. 12,000 in the first year. I mean, we don't want to go get into that debate, but if we wanted to play this.
The way to play it is, look, we got it down. They got him up. Oh, you can kill them on that. They want to get into that thing. They're just murdered as time goes on.
We came in, they had.
Who's out of there?
They said that there was he killed. But
they sat there. And they brought him
back. We brought him back and preserved American honor.
That's right.
The only foreign policy McGovern has on Vietnam.
Instead
of upset the enemies too.
I got in there, you speak for me, and I know that I didn't have anybody in the group that agreed with me on it, with one possible exception, one of the younger guys. I said, you cannot give away the moral run of Vietnam. I said, I don't want to see anything prepared anymore. Which said, well, maybe, you know, I brought it up, and it was the same line when we first came in. That, maybe we shouldn't have gotten in here. But now that we are in the war, we've got to do the best we can to end it in an honorable way. I said, the moment you say that, then American men are dying for a mistake made by their president at some time. If it was a mistake, you should get the hell out the first day you can. You cannot justify it. I said, as a matter of fact, we can criticize the conduct of the war, but we must not back away from the fundamental proposition that it would have been morally wrong to allow the communists to impose a communist government. 17 million people in the South who rely on this. And it would be morally wrong at this point, after having moved in, for us to move out and allow them to oppose it with the inevitable bloodbath that would follow. That's all there is to it. The moment you give away that moral ground, you're dead.
I couldn't agree.
Okay. Sure. He wore those
Port Rayburn
polished cotton slacks and an old sport, faded old sport shirt, you know, and you could see he'd been wearing it all the time. And he was young enough and all that, but it looked good. I don't think most men look good in sport shirts.
Yeah, well,
Kennedy did, some other people.
McGovern may look all right.
No, I don't think he does.
He's not heavy. He's got a good physique.
Yeah.
Although, I don't think that, basically, let me tell you what you disagree about, in my opinion. A lot of this has to do with the whole reaction on a sex basis, and the idea of, masculinity, and a man, a woman would be interested in sleeping with, and so forth and so on. Kennedy was played black, and played very effectively. I just can't ever see McGovern coming across as a sex symbol. He could come across as one less than I can, because basically, it's much less because he's not masculine.
Well, that's right.
See, because the sex symbol business requires voice. It requires a certain what the is called macho. And he doesn't impress me that way.
It actually
comes across more as a sort of a self-righteous moralist. And I don't think people can do it.
Do you agree with him?
I was just going to say, he looks like a... When I see, my impression is he looks like a preacher at a Sunday picnic. In other words, he's... Which is self-righteous moralist. And that's the way he comes over in this fortune. Kind of out of place in it. I don't think he can ever be.
Well, getting back to the press thing, Ron, you feel that we should do the in-office thing this week. Would you like all subjects rather than just domestic?
I think so, because
you
can turn it on. You can say whatever you want on any subject.
Yes,
you don't want to stop.
I know I can turn it off and turn it on, but it's just a question of preparation time.
And exploring about Vietnam, if you ask any Vietnam questions, you just have to say that's too sensitive to discuss.
Yeah, well, I can say that, but that doesn't mean I don't have to be prepared on Saigon and on Vietnam. Henry's only worried about questions of negotiation, but you can still have to be prepared about questions on the bombing,
military,
the dikes, when's the next withdrawal.
I would say it would be better off to have it together. Because then that leaves your future option open. And
you definitely think we should have a televisor before the convention?
I don't think you should lock to it, but my view would be you should, but not too close to the convention.
Well, I can't. It's got to be 2 weeks before.
Yes.
And 2 weeks before it would be effective. I mean, to me, it would be useful for me. Like, I didn't spend any other time preparing something to say.
It should be the third. It should be that week rather than even wait until the 8th.
I think so.
That's the ideal time. You're in between your off of theirs and before ours.
Plus the fact it gets the momentum going. If you have one this week, we've got the momentum continuing and so forth. Then you pick up next week and then you go in into the acceptance speech for that force.
I still think, Ron, there's something to be said to not to take political questions in the East Room, ever. In other words, when I return from a televised press conference after the convention, I think that conference, I think it should be on national issues as president. Say, I'm not part of the political questions. They're not in California, they're not televised. You know what I mean? So if you want to ask all your political questions, when I'm in a campaign, as campaigner, I'll take political questions. As president, I won't.
Okay, but at that time, you have a challenger, a legitimate challenger,
yeah,
who raises attacks on substantive issues. Do you answer questions on those issues?
Yeah. I'll say, if you want to put your question in terms of the issue, but then I'll be glad to answer.
Now, that's it.
I will not answer it in terms of that. That would be unfair use of
they would ask a question like that. Questions about it.
Sure. What's that in the way?
If they would ask that question, hypothetically, that McGovern's sending out campaign literature with federal funds, you could say no comment, but the value would be there in terms of the negative.
I'll go the other way. McGovern has said that your campaign manager, Clark McGregor, has been taking money for such and such. He's bugging our headquarters or something. What would you say about that? The grand jury on the Watergate caper has just indicted all these people which are coming to the ground.
What you do, you have someone who's already commented on it and referred to the fact that I'm not going to, in this forum, discuss that. That matters.
Well, that's a matter that the campaign chairman. I have directed that all federal agencies completely cooperate with the investigative authorities because this kind of activity will not be tolerated. Period. That's all I would say.
Above it.
Criminal aspects of the case, but I have directed that all federal agencies, the FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office, cooperate totally in this investigation to get at the bottom.
Well, Mr. President, on a moral basis, do you feel it's right for a campaign be engaged in this kind of activity?
Certainly not. That's why we're cooperating totally with the Divine on what it is.
So
I think there's a path you can follow behind you too.
I think that would work.
Well,
did they get you at Watergate today to ask about that last report that came across the Times? Rubacher story. What did you say about it?
Some gentleman I've talked to before. I'm not going to have anything to say on that from here.
That's right.
Not even a follow-up to what I thought I'd be impressed, but it wasn't. I think they know that I'm...
They know you're not going to comment. That's the beauty of no comment. There's no follow-up. Well, we've all said say that we're not going to have the name. The only thing I suggest, if we may ask Dave, that you've got to begin that you can't, if you get pressed too hard, is to use the line that just indicated that the president has indicated that this kind of action is, just say you have indicated, you and I backed you up, indicated this action, kind of action has no place in our political process, and that the president has directed that we can be total by all federal agencies to get at the bottom of this and to see that those who are guilty of such actions are apprehended. So we can just be in the position of what's there. Overzealous people do things in campaigns.
I don't think they'll ask you this. I think it's safe
to let. Come up again. You just don't know what the next one in the grand jury you finally get to see someone. We won't get something that is going to be my next week's.
Indictments? No, it may not be this year.
Investigated very thoroughly.
What's the matter?
How was this, Bob? What was the that he would, he filed a statement, I guess, to the U.S. attorney that, that said to the grand jury, or the U.S. attorney, that it said to the grand jury, and then he, well, he challenged the grand jury. First of all, he said the grand jury must be disbanded because it's convened illegally in the sense that the publicity that's come out of it has jeopardized the defendant's rights, and he is as a potential defendant, as a potential...
turning that down. Rule the Supreme Court on this thing.
He has a potential
defendant.
Well, it wasn't defendant, he's some attorney
witness.
It had to do with that he could be subject to indictment by the grand jury as a conspirator or something under the evidence that they'd already had. And because of that potential, that he would not, that his rights would not be properly protected if he were to be called before this jury because of that. So I forget what it's been. It helps a point there. And then so
that's one way if he wanted to have delay, he could take that case.
That's right. And then he made some second point also. And Dean said the U.S. attorneys and all just sat and laughed for a couple hours. They think the guy was nuts. And then they got to thinking, well, what are they going to do about this? And they began to realize it wasn't so funny after all. So they've now demanded that he appear. And he won't go and take the... Oh, that's it. He says if he goes before the grand jury and takes the Fifth Amendment, then under the long tradition, it will be assumed that he is inculpated and that would jeopardize his rights and all that sort of thing, too, and because of the publicity. And if he does, so he isn't going to appear. So they've now come to a thing where he has filed with his attorney a sworn statement that if he were called before the grand jury, he would take the Fifth Amendment. And that somehow gets him off some hook or something. They're playing some very intricate legal game that is kind of intriguing, I guess, to the guys who understand it. And Hunt, as Dean said, Hunt's the only guy in the whole thing that's got the brains to you know,
well, what he's doing.
And Hunt's lawyer was the deputy in the criminal division at Justice, so he's a very smart guy.
See what Hunt is doing is he's using all of these goddamn permissive crap that the previous Supreme Court was giving him
for his purpose.
That's right.
And that's what they ought to do.
All these murders and rapists get off.
That
basically the murders and rapists have gotten off because of publicity. Too much publicity. I don't know, I'm not ready to say what the law is in this case, but they ought to use every damn thing they want. Fight, twist, and turn. That's what the law is.
I think you're right.
I think too.
Well, yeah, you'll do the California thing without cameras.
Yeah. But I think that they're going to watch that down there carefully.
I tend to give answers that are quite carefully constructed, but it's very hard to take things up. And the one thing that it does not allow when you're on film, it doesn't allow the breast cancer that I can sometimes give to a shittiness, which I can do in this room. See, when you don't have a film, you can say, well, nothing like a comment. Right? But if you put that on film, that's very good. So what's your view on that? Is it worth it to have it on film? I'm not sure it is. You see, it's a little easier for me. I can hem and haw a little more. A little more detached and so forth. If I don't have to feel that every sentence and every mood has got it may be reflected in the tooth.
I think.
What about a photo opportunity? Oh, that's insane.
Yeah, I think that's as to whether or not you do it sound on the film.
Yeah.
I think that option is left open. The sound closer to the time.
What's your view on it? That's the point.
No, my view.
Where the option? Question. What do you do?
Take this one Thursday now.
Why don't we have a photo opportunity?
No. I thought we were going to last one.
Yeah. So about the reels and the stills that we can.
And see, then you just going to say, this is the extra courage thought. I said, we are using tricks, aren't we, a little in there?
Going forward, yes.
Yeah.
By the cover of both.
Yeah. You mean all that shit? Anyway,
he's a fascinating guy.
Oh, sure. She's a really just courageous guy. Right. But anyway, Tex McCurry has made the point that the press conference you had in the office, he thinks, have been very good with the reader. But he said you don't get the play that you should because you don't have a photo to go with it. You should always have a photo. The point that I made is that why don't we give him a photo? In other words, I think what you could do is to say, fellows, you can come in, you can have a photo out, and then let him go out that door and leave. Have the press all in the room, and I'll just walk in,
sure.
and I'll say, gentlemen, we'll go ahead with the conference just as soon as they finish their pictures,
sure.
And then they'll finish it and say thank you very much, and then I'll say this.
What about that one question? Question with the cameras?
No, it's too
no,
no,
no, no, no,
you don't need that.
No. Right. Gentlemen, I'm here. We
he can fill that time by saying, how are you?
Again. Yes, I can just talk sort of casually. So they got a pleasant demeanor. I can say when we have these conferences in the office, there are some who have indicated that they would like a picture of it. Consequently, they have invited the photographers in to take a picture. As soon as they finish, we'll go ahead with the conference.
Right.
Like that, and see.
This cheery bash will say 10 seconds.
That's not on sound.
Out.
In terms of California, I would say if you were going to use that session to outline, for example, in more informal terms, the way you intended to proceed with the Eastern press conferences, get into the reactions or to the convention and the upcoming campaign and so forth. I would think that you would be better off on this particular occasion without the sound on film, but with a photo opportunity. Give plenty of time.
I would like, frankly, bother myself to have photo opportunities only in those sessions. I think it either ought to be televised and let everybody see the whole performance, so-called, and do it for television, or do it in an informal way. Now, that's just the way I think about it. I just feel that that's a better way to do it. It allows, it's a very different, it may not seem so.
See, the film cam, I know it.
It may not seem so when you see these conferences, because bothered there's somebody that said, gee, we wish we'd have that televised. I'm not sure. Because it's a very different thing. When you're up there before that camera all the time, you're speaking differently.
That's exactly.
You're speaking differently. You've got to be always up. Your head's got to be up. You can never look down and think. You can never sort of, look away and do the things which they like about it in here. They don't like to see your mind working. But you can't let your mind be shown working up there in that East room. Don't you agree?
Changes, there's no question about it, it changes.
The chemistry changes.
Does in every television studio in the country.
Yeah.
When the red light goes on, the chemistry changes.
Yes, sir. of the campaign. Suppose that we have the regional thing. Well, of course, we've got the thought of going up to the catching the people
right
fence, a little of that, and so forth. But how about a regional press conference at times at 4 o'clock? You'd have to film that, wouldn't you?
For sure, absolutely.
You have to film,
absolutely.
And there I wouldn't worry too much about. That's going to be, and then that'll be political anyway. I don't think you can rule out political questions.
You film regional conference.
That's not the Easter. You're not.
But you see, presidency there, you're being filmed out of campaigns.
And you're filmed out and you go without, you know, talking about the issues, but you force, you know, your point of view across the television screen that way.
Now, insofar as also this room is concerned, which I can use, I may use between now and the between the convention and the election, I will never, even in this room, take any political questions after the election. I'll say I'm not going to use the White House for a political forum. I said I'll be glad to answer that when I'm in the country campaigning. I think that's a very sound position. Don't you?
I think you can work on that basis where you, on the basis of...
So that's the fun. As you do that, then you're clearly saying that when you're here, you're president, and when you're out, you're not.
No, maybe not. Well, that other just, but yeah, but the only other way you can do it is just not answer questions deliberately.
That's scary.
And if finesse them, say, well, I'm not going to comment.
I wouldn't answer out in the country either.
You're out, huh?
I wouldn't answer about the country either.
I don't care if it's going to be really that big of a division.
Well, then maybe we should even consider having a press conference in California where I take political questions, although I think I have to. I think I've dug myself into that position, unfortunately. But I have to, because I couldn't delay having it forever.
Well, I think that's all right in California. That's right after the convention. You have become the candidate, and you can, they'll ask you, well, of course you don't answer. Well, yes, you do. I say, when are you going to start your campaign? Gentlemen,
I tend to start my campaign anytime it's been begun.
The campaign is on the issues, and the issues, I've been explaining the issues ever since I've been in this office, and I'll continue to through up to election night. For every means that I can.
Okay.
This one.